This is Jeff Thorne. I am the writer, producer, showrunner of the upcoming Avengers Black Panther's Quest TV series, and you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
Here comes a new challenger. Time for your Talk Time Live exclusive.
Ladies and gentlemen, on with us right now is nothing more than an honor and a pleasure right now. This is Black History Month, and I've always said that we should not only, honor those of the past in African American history, but also those who are making history in the future. So without further ado, we have on with us right now Ariel R. Johnson, owner of Amalgam Comics and Coffee Shop. Ariel, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am quite fine. We are all chomping at the bit to finally get a chance to talk with you. Congratulations on the success of your shop. And this is an unbelievable thing that's happened in this day and age and how much this expanded. The question I have for you to start off, did you have any idea of how much, how big this was going to be? Did you knew that, this was going to be an impactful type of thing, project that you were going to do?
No, really. I mean, it was just something that I wanted to do, for myself. It's something that I've had the idea for a long time. And just I was at a place where I knew I needed to do or pursue something I was passionate about.
Right.
So it was very, it was probably I was very focused on myself a little bit, I think, just kind of me trying to carve out like a little piece of happiness for myself. And this was the thing that I was excited about and have been thinking about for a long time. And, you hope that other people see the value in it. And, clearly if I'm opening a business, I want people to patronize it and for it to be successful. The rest of my team and myself are very, surprised and humbled by just how, quickly and completely this thing has, just really blown up. I don't think any of us, pictured it. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, in other words, before when you guys came up with this idea, none of you said, well, do you realize that you're, the first African-American woman to do this, or it just happened? Somebody found out or detected it like that?
Yeah, someone found out and detected it. I believe it was on the Black Tribbles, which is a podcast here in Philly as well.
Randy's a part of our ACMG Facebook group, so we're well aware of the Black Tribbles.
Yeah, so I think that was the media outlet that was first mentioned. Up until that point, I mean, it's one of those things I didn't really think about it too much, because clearly that's not why I was doing it. That wasn't I want to be the first Black woman, on the East Coast or wherever that does this thing. It was, again, just something that I wanted to do and felt like I needed to do. I needed to try. And then, that connection was made and, really got people excited. I not downplaying it. It's like I recognize the importance of it, but for me, that wasn't where I started.
Right.
It's just kind of this thing that we realize after the fact, and just kind of celebrating it.
Right, absolutely, and indeed. I mean, it's been all over the world. Let me tell you, I mean, when my brother from the UK calls me and tells me and sends me the link and have you heard about this?
Oh.
That speaks high volumes of it as to how much of a big deal that is. My next question before I pass it on, actually, what led to the hybrid idea of a marketable idea, I might add, of doing a coffee shop and a comic book shop? And it's funny because you would think it's really cool that you came up with this. But at the same time, it's how come nobody have done this before?
Well, actually, I'm not the first to do this business model. When I came up with the idea, I was not aware of any other hybrids. There were none that I was aware of, but just in the process of doing my business plan and researching it, I just Googled to see if there was anything else out there like this, to see, reach out to see if I could talk to them. And there were about five or six, I believe, but most of which were on the West Coast.
Right.
So, you know, there's one in Arizona. I believe there's one in Washington State. Oh, my goodness. One is in Iowa, I believe.
Right.
And I, for the most part, I think they are all owned by white men or white men and women.
Right.
You know, no people of color, no women of color. But for me, when because I came up with the idea in 2003 when I was still in college, and it was the result of the coffee shop that I would go to after I went to my comic book store every Friday closed. I had this right. really, you know, this routine that I enjoyed, like after school, after classes on Friday. You know, mm-hmm. Friday was an early day for me, so I'd make my way to the comic book store in Center City, Fat Jack's, and directly
from... Oh, my God. I used to go to Fat Jack's quite... You mean the one in 20th and...
Sansom, yeah.
Yep.
Yep, that was my spot. And, and directly across the street from that was this really cool coffee shop called Crimson Moon.
Right, right.
Ran by, I believe her name was Coco, you know, young black mm-hmm. woman. And just, I love the vibe in her shop, everything from the decor... to, you know, the mural she had in the bathroom, the furniture, you know, that was in the space, and the music that she played, everything, like, you know,
right.
great hot chocolates and, you know, mm-hmm. cake and things like that, like a lemon poppy seed pound cake that, you know, I still think about to this day.
Yeah, you do realize that I'm going to go after this interview and just go to town or something.
Well, yeah, and it was just a great, great shop. And she ended up closing. So it was the loss of that shop that kind of sparked the idea, because I just kind of, you know, I really missed that routine. And it wasn't as simple as, oh, just find another coffee shop. Because it was this vibe that she created in her space. Mm-hmm. that I missed. So I just kind of got the idea, like, man, it would be really cool if there was a place where you could, you know, not only buy your comics, but hang out there after you bought them and read them and, you know, get into some conversations, be surrounded by, you know, people who get just as excited about, you know, fictional worlds and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so that, I mean, it was just as simple as that. I was, again, just thinking about like an experience that I would enjoy having and wanting to make it a reality. Like,
I love the origin story that is based on the nostalgia of both shops.
Yeah.
combined. I think that is cool as hell. And the fact that I love Fat Jack's. I miss going to that place so much as, you know, when I was younger.
Yeah.
That was my spot.
I haven't been there in a while, mainly because I'm like never in Center City anymore. But
right. I'm really surprised that it's still open. And the rent is probably astronomical right now.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So, I mean, you know, good for them that they are able to. Because, I mean, I would assume it is tough, but, you know, still so happy they're there. And mm-hmm. Whenever I am in Center City, I always walk past it and they're closed because I'm always there, you know, like after 8 when I am down there. And I'm always like, I got to get up here earlier just to, like, you know, pay the shop a visit because it's a
great right,
shop.
Right.
It was that was my go-to for, like, my final 3 years of college. So...
Yeah.
We have a long history.
I hear you.
All right, Ariel, it's a pleasure to finally get a chance to talk with you. If you get a friend request from someone named Miles Morales, it's me, so don't be terrified. It's just me. I'm not crazy.
Okay.
He has to give this disclaimer to all of our guests that's on here.
I go by the Miles Morales moniker on Facebook, and there's no pictures of me, so it seems like I might be some crazy anonymous dude, but don't worry. I'm a real person, so if I
trust
you, don't be scared. shout out to the homie Randy Green. He put me on to Amalgam months before the shop opened. I've been following all developments leading up to the grand opening and everything that's happened with you guys ever since. So congratulations on all your success. A lot of us are really proud of what you're doing down there. I'm going to segue into my first question. I posted an article a few months ago on my Facebook page, and a friend of mine, Caucasian male, he asked me, well, I don't understand why this article keeps pointing out the fact that she's a black female. What's the big deal? Why can't she just be a store owner? And right or wrong, I tried to give him my my perspective on it, I thought to myself, you know what? I don't know the statistics, but I don't think there's a lot of female comic book shop owners, and I don't know that there's a lot of black comic book shop owners. Now, combine the two, black female comic book shop owner, that's kind of a big deal. And I'm obviously not the only one that feels that way. And I think that, and like you said, you didn't set out to do that. You just followed your passion. And to me, I look at that as it's important because you can be kind of a beacon to other like males or females of color who just want to follow their passion and do something that you don't see a lot of other people in their demographic doing. So I just want to know how you feel about the fact that a lot of articles point out the fact that you are a woman of color. Do you just want to be known as a business person, or are you okay with people always pointing out that you are a female of color?
You know, that is a complicated question, and it has a lot of layers. You know, clearly, you know, I want the shop to be successful in its own right, not, you know, oh, it's not a great shop, but it's owned by a black woman, so I go there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's definitely something that I don't want. And I mean, you know, my team and I are work hard to make the store be the best that it can be. So, you know, we are not, I guess, coasting on that nuance to be successful. But at the same time, it's like it is a big deal, especially, you know, so, you know, I've been a black girl nerd for a long time. And, you know, I've gone into many a comic book store and, you know, you get the turned heads, you know, for two reasons. A, I'm black. B, I'm a woman. And I'm in this space that is, you know, dominated by, you know, white men. And so, you know, I guess, again, when you're in a place of, you know, majority, a place of privilege, if you will, it's easy to kind of write off things and say, well, what's the big deal? I don't get it. And it's like, well, you don't see the big deal because you are represented. You've never gone into a comic book store and had all eyes on you. You've never gone into a comic book store and asked for, you know, the book you want to read, and people say, oh, are you buying this for your boyfriend, or you're not really into comics, and, you know, things like that, and try to be dismissive of you. And, you know, there are times it's like, you know, well, I spend $40 a week on books, so I'm going to say I like it. And you can't tell me that I don't because what I look like doesn't fit what you think a geek looks like. So that is definitely not lost on me either. And I think it is important, and I don't mind that people point it out, but it's not important for me, because I know who I am. I know I'm black. I know I'm a woman. I know I'm a geek. You know what I mean? But I think it's important for, you know, other people out there, specifically, you know, young children, but whether they be black women, or, you know, black girl, or black girls, you know what I mean? Who are, you know, maybe a fish out of water and something that they enjoy doing, and, you know, get a lot of, you know, just kind of, you know, ignorant comments, or people want you to be the stereotype that makes them comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you're not, and trying to like create that space for yourself, because that's the space that you naturally inhabit. So I think it's important for people to know that, you know, I am all those things. I am black. I'm a woman. I'm a geek. And I made a space for myself. And hopefully that, you know, gives people the courage to say, well, you know what? I'm kind of a fish out of water in this thing that I like to do, too. But, you know, I'm going to stand my ground and make a place for myself and not wait for someone else to be accepting of me. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you just have to kind of do you, you know, if that's what you, you know, want to do. So, again, so like I said, it's multi-layered. I think, again, that's not why I want the store to be successful, but I think it is important just for people to see, you know.
Right, and it's not the fact of it being the gimmick.
Right. It's not a gimmick.
It's not a gimmick. It's
you know.
Right.
I am, you know.
But people will be so quick to want to use that as, you know, leverage to be a gimmick type of thing, and that's totally unfair to you.
Right.
So,
right.
Great answer. So my next one's going to be a lot less complicated. Not a lot of layers. Real easy one. Who or what introduced you to the world of comics?
So I have always liked, you know, like superheroes, superpower stuff. You know, I was born in 83, so I grew up watching like He-Man and She-Ra and Thundercats. And my dad wanted to share like aspects of his geekier side with me. So, you know, I had He-Man toys and things like that growing up. But I definitely think it's something that I could have possibly, I guess, you know, quote unquote grew out of. But the thing that kind of solidified it for me, and I knew that, you know, this was going to be my existence, you know, probably until the day I die, is when I was introduced to Storm in X-Men when Fox had the series back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Because up until that point, while I still enjoyed the genre, I had never seen anyone that looked like me represented. You know, so, you know, you think She-Ra, you think He-Man, you think Thundercats. I mean, you know, other than, you know, Panthro, but he's still a cat and not an actual brown face. So... Uh-huh. But you know what I mean? But so to see Storm, who is black, who is a woman, who is a powerhouse, who is a leader, you know what I mean? Who's all these things that, like, you know, again, it clicked in my mind. It goes back to that, like, you can't see, you can't be what you can't see. And so up until that point, I felt like I was watching like the adventures of other people, but I was definitely standing on the inside, on the outside of it. But when I saw Storm, I felt like she kind of opened the door for me to really imagine myself as a part of these like superpowered, you know, fantastical worlds. And so again, her character was just really, it was like a pivotal moment for me. And that is the thing that specifically got me into comics, because I just loved her character on the show. I wanted to know more about her. And I knew that X-Men was a comic book. So if I really wanted to know more about Storm, I needed to read them. And that's where it all started.
Love it. Thank you.
Okay. Now, just real quick, Ariel, where did the name of your shop come derive from? Where was the origin of that?
So it's actually... was from an organic conversation between myself and my friend Corinne Wilson, when we were just we were actively trying to name the shop, and we were, you know, we had our running list of things, but none of the name, you know, we had some names that we liked better than others, but there was nothing that really felt like it, like, yes, that's it.
Right.
And we were just kind of talking through like what we wanted the shop to be. So we wanted to be a comic book store. We want it to be a coffee shop. We want it to be equally both of those things. You know what I mean? It's not a coffee shop with a comic twist, and it's not, you know, a comic book store that serves like crap coffee. You know what I mean? It's like we are paying equal attentions to both things. But more than that, we want to be a place for the geek, no matter what that means. So if it's sci-fi, if it's gaming, you know, whatever is the thing that you geek about, and so you're kind of part of like a subculture, we wanted it to be a space where you felt welcome to geek about whatever you geek about. And so just in that, you know, we were talking about it, and Corinne said, you know, it'll just be an amalgam. And when she said that, I was just like, wait, I was like, that's it. You know, that's the name. Because it encompasses everything that we're trying to do. And I like it because it doesn't limit us. It doesn't, you know, again, because amalgam can be a blending of anything. So things that we want to add later, or like, oh, you know, let's maybe go down this road or go down that road. We're not limited by the name, because it is all encompassing.
And amalgam does sound every bit as hybrid as what you're doing right now, too.
Yeah.
That makes a hell of a lot of sense. That's pretty cool. Lou, you want to go next?
Yeah. Hello, Ariel. Lou Johnson. How you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. Mouth of the South local jokester. yeah, don't quote me on that. But it's great to have you on. I've read so much about you. When I typed in amalgam and hit space, the comic shop popped up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. So... yeah, that may just be Google tracking me. I don't know.
That's good SEO.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's really cool. But I was just wondering, For the level of notoriety and attention that you've gained, do you feel like it's a heavier weight of responsibility on your shoulders?
You know what? Actually, I would say yes to that. Again, it's like we're new, so we have only been open. We just hit our 2-month mark. But it started to really pop off like before we were even a good 2-3 weeks in. And so, again, you know, you open and you think, you know, we'll have time to tweak. So, you know, especially when you're opening a business and this has been like a long, long, long road, a long haul. And I was definitely at a point where it was like, we need to get open as soon as possible. So it was like, okay, we have comics, we have coffee, let's open. And then, you know, we'll continue to add and grow as we have, you know, revenue coming in. So that was definitely, you know, where I was at. But then because of all the press and, you know, people like word of mouth and it just getting around, you know, we've been getting much busier, much sooner than I thought we would. I definitely thought we'd have like, you know, a slow winter at the very least where we could, you know, be building slowly and then kind of boom, you know, hit hard in the spring. Cause technically we're still in our soft opening and we won't be celebrating our grand opening until the spring. Mm-hmm. But we've just seen like a tremendous amount of growth. So again, it's what's happening with us now is all things that we intended to happen. We're just having to press through and get it done faster. Because we're busier, you know, stock is like flying off the shelf. So, you know, we've had to increase our orders and, you know, people are requesting, you know, things like subscriptions and things like that, things that we're not quite set up to do yet. But now we're working to get that done faster because people are asking for it. So really just trying to be responsive to what people want. So, you know, just because of that, it's like, you know, our timeline got crunched in a very real way. And so it's just, you know, we're working hard to get stuff done as quickly as possible so that when people come in, they're having, you know, the best experience and interaction with Amalgam that we can give them.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, I mean, adjusting on the fly is a great thing because, you know, the best laid plans can go all to crap if you, you know, things just fly all to crap.
Yes. You got to learn to assimilate and adjust.
Yeah. And my next question, you're a book reader. And you're a coffee drinker. So if you could only read one series of books and drink one coffee for a month, what would it be?
One series of books. I'm going to have to stick close to home. It would be X-Men.
Okay.
And I love it.
And coffee, I actually don't drink a ton of coffee because I don't handle the caffeine well. It's a very bad look on me. I would actually probably be drinking like hot chocolates. I really like chai lattes, but I have to.
Oh, I'm coming down.
You and chai. And it's weird.
All you had to say was chai right there. I'm done. Yeah, I'll see you in a bit.
And I'm not even I don't generally like soy milk, but when I do chais. I prefer it with soy milk. I don't know. It's just like
I tried it with that. The almond milk to me works.
Oh, really? I've never had it with almond milk. I always do the soy.
Yeah, vanilla. It's the aftertaste of soy. It kind of gets me.
Oh,
the vanilla.
I find that the chai kind of cuts that, and I don't know. It just it's very like I just feel like very chill. But I'll have to try with almond milk.
I tell you what, when we get down to your shop. I'll actually order that, and I'll let you know.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Definitely.
Hi. It's nice to talk to you.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Good. Now, I live in Atlanta, so I'm really excited about coming up to actually see your store, and I want to know, are there any kind of events that are going on there, or do you have, like, specific things that are going on?
Oh, yeah. So we are, you know, again, events, something that we definitely wanted to do. And now we have had to push up that timeline and we're actually starting to do events much sooner than I thought we would. But it's been it's been really cool. So we our first event, technically, I guess, was not our event. We were hosting it for another group, but it was a gaming event. And it was like basically a D&D intro like walkthrough. So people like, and it could be, you could have been a pro, like you've been playing for years, or you've never played and was just interested. And what they did is they kind of did, like a run through an introduction, and then you actually sit down at a table and you had somebody kind of overseeing your gameplay to kind of just introduce you to the concepts and how you play, you know, those kind of games. And we had like a really good turnout for that. People really responded well to the shop, to just the event, to the fact that we were open to hosting those kind of things in the space. And then our official, I guess, first event was first Friday of this month. We had a band play, and the band, you know, we kept it close to home. One of the baristas that works in the shop is a part of a band, and she and her band played. And then we had a local artist, a friend that I actually worked with at another establishment. He showed his artwork, and you know, people came out and bought books and hung out and, it, you know, had conversation, and it was a great thing. And then an event that I was, like, super excited for, we had yesterday, which was a Walking Dead event. We had two Walking Dead artists, Will Torres and William Olmo, come out, and they did, you know, free signings, as well as they did sketches for people. And, you know, it was just like $30 for a sketch, so really reasonable. And we had some, you know, the blank sketch variant cover, so it said Walking Dead on it, but there was absolutely nothing on the cover. And they came and, like, drew zombified versions of the customers on the book, so, you know, the people come in, buy the book, go over to the table and get their sketch done. And then they also had, you know, poster versions of that. And so, you know, some people got the book drawn on, some people got posters. They had, you know, original art. We did a raffle for some original art that they drew and donated.
Yeah, I saw pictures on your on the Facebook page. It was really looked really cool.
Yeah, and then we, you know, so that was like a fun day, and they really hung in there. They were only supposed to, you know, be there 12 to 5, and they ended up staying until 8.
Wow.
And so that was awesome. And then we capped the night off with Walking Dead. So we, you know, turned it on a little early so people could kind of catch up or get a refresh of what happened, and then we all watched the premiere together. And, you know, when we were doing the rewatch, there weren't a ton of people here. And, you know, I was actually a little sad. I was like, oh man, I thought we'd have a bigger turnout. But then the closer we got to 9, you know, people were packing into the point we had to make some readjustments. We had to get more chairs because people were like coming in the door, and it was like, oh my gosh. So then we're like hustling to get stuff in place, but it was awesome. And I gotta say, I love Walking Dead, and I've watched it, you know, with one or two friends, but I've never watched it in a room full of people
in the audience
love it. So just kind of, you know we're all reacting the same way to different things, and it's just awesome to know, like, oh man, I'm not the only one that like sits at home like, oh, you know, yelling at the screen. It's like, this is, you know, this is a community, you know what I mean? Right. This is a culture, and you know, people are taking part in it, and so it's just cool to be able to do that together. So we're really excited about that, and we're actually going to continue that for the rest of the Walking Dead season, and we're going to show the new episode every Sunday at 9.
Right. That's hot. That's hot.
That is hot. Real quick, Ariel, what did you think of the premiere episode?
Oh my gosh, it was like crazy, because it was like nothing was happening, and I was like, what is going on? And then everything happened, like to the point where you couldn't even, like, it was like, you know, we just rewatched it because I was like, I don't know. It's like, I know what I saw, but did I see it? Because that was crazy. Just, you know, it was because it started slow. And sometimes The Walking Dead can be slow. Like, you'll have those episodes where they're building. And I was like, man, I was like, I can't believe they're doing this with the premiere. And then, you know,
Rednecks and Rockets.
Rednecks and Rockets.
And then it just went down. And just, it went down in a way that I don't think anybody was really ready for.
Especially the minute those bikers exploded, it was just like, it never looked back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and this, you know, this, and just that episode alone is a game changer. So I'm really just excited to see what happens after. You know, I know, you know, we all know Negan is coming this season. So, you know, it's about to get real. And you know, you just want to see what, you know, how it's going to play out.
Yeah, we do our Talk Time social media post on our ACMG Facebook group, and we were just all drawn. I mean, you could see a line of people on a Facebook page, on a Facebook thread, just like, whoa, wow, damn.
Right.
Oh my God, Glenn, and you know, all these types of things going on.
Carl. Yeah,
oh God. Thanks for reminding me of that one.
Yeah, it's so much going on. And Glenn is like messing with my heart because it's like, oh man, I can't do this again. Because after that, you know, the first time.
You know it's coming.
It's coming.
And that's the thing. And I mean, based on the comic, we think we know what's coming.
We think we know. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they can flip that off real quick.
The show is a different animal, so they could go a completely different route. But, you know, I do feel like all of these, like, close calls he's having is kind of foreshadowing what is going to happen. And I got to tell you, I'm not ready for that. Because, you know, I love Glenn's character. I love the actor that plays him. And, if that is the way things go, I'm going to be really sad to see him leave the show.
You and everybody. I usually call him the bumblebee of the Walking Dead.
Oh, why?
Because he kind of comes off as like, all right, if Rick is like Optimus Prime of the group, he's surely as hell Bumblebee. He's always the one that's just go for the go and ride or die and whatever.
Okay, I get you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's our favorite side character.
He's also the only person on the show who hasn't killed a person. Like, he's killed like the most walkers, but because they had a tally a couple years ago of who's killed what, and he's the only one that's never killed an actual a human. Like,
I never noticed.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't notice that either.
Yeah, he's never killed a live person. He's only killed zombies. Walkers. I said the Z word.
But I'm sorry, Megan. Go ahead with your next question.
Now, you're really into the local area. I was wondering if you'd be willing to support local comic book creators and sell their work there.
Actually, we're already doing that.
Amazing.
Again, so something that happened just a little faster than we thought. I mean, that was always the plan. But again, you know, everything is getting speeded up. So right now our submission process is about, we're saying 6 to 8 weeks, because we are, you know, getting flooded via mail, email, phone calls. So, it's just taking time for us to kind of get through stuff and, you know, figure out like, okay, what do we think will work in the store? You know, things like that. And so we don't want people to think that we're ignoring them or not taking them seriously. We are, and that's why it's just taking a while. But we do have a few, books already on the shelves, and they're doing well. Like, you know, come in, and it's like, oh, man, we sold out of that. So it's awesome to see that people are, you know, really want to support, you know, local business being Amalgam, and then also local artists being the creators who are looking to have their stuff in the shop.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thank you.
Real quick, before we continue, is there a you got a whole menu of, delicacies that you make, or is it like how do you have that set up?
So we do bake in-house. So the things that we get from other vendors are things like our bagels, and we get croissants and some danishes and things like that actually come from an outside bakery. But we do bake cookies and cupcakes and pound cakes and things like that in house. When the spring hits, we'll start introducing pies and things like that. So our menu changes kind of depending on, you know, ingredients that we have available or, what fruit do we have? And so we'll kind of cater adjust our menu based on that. So every day is a little different. We don't have a set food menu. We just kind of have things out on display. So what we have is what we have.
So every once in a while, you guys will probably do a theme-like thing or a seasonal type of base, you know, item?
Yeah, actually, so we have two right now. So we have...
you got anything pumpkin spiced?
No, we have a matcha.
Oh, I like how she said that, too. I love how she said that. It's like, no.
No, and not that we wouldn't, we probably wouldn't call it a pumpkin spice. We will think of, we'll probably call it like the Hobgoblin or something. He's, known for pumpkins.
I like that.
But right now we have the matcha Yoda latte, which is soy milk and matcha green tea powder steamed. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a Scarlet Witch cupcake, which is a red velvet cake with strawberry cream cheese frosting.
Okay, we need to really go down there, like, very, like, extremely soon. That and the chai tea, we should call that the avatar.
Oh, right now we just call it a chai, but we are, rethinking, like, what we want to call our drinks. Like, the Americano will probably be the Captain Americano once we start mm-hmm. to kind of play with the menu a little bit. Right. But one thing at a time.
I know you wrote that
down. Start calling you every day, like, okay, here's my list this time.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
All right, I'm the last one, so, you know, I got the short questions.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it real easy because I don't want to, you know, tie you up much more. But my first question is, I mean, with the success of your shop, I see yourself being very successful and very, you know, as being a pillar of the community in the next coming years. And so my first question is, are you looking to franchise?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, if you would have asked me that a year ago, I would have said, you know, absolutely not. But now I don't know. I don't know. We'll see, you know, what's in the cards. For me, just opening this first store, you know, at points just seemed like insurmountable. It just seemed like something that, you know, could possibly not happen despite, you know, all the energy that I was putting into it. So right now I'm really mm-hmm. just living in the fact that, you know, we did it. And just enjoying that for a little bit before I really think about, like, what's next.
And laying out the foundation heavily.
Exactly.
With that. Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. But I won't say no. But I'm not 100% sure.
It's kind of like playing a game of double dutch and just jumping in the right time of opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Without getting too much hurt or too much injured.
Get tangled up.
Yeah, exactly. It's real.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's cool. That's cool. All right, and my last question for you. All right. What do you think of all the recent comic book movies? Like, what's your favorite one out there, and what are you looking forward to see over the next year or so?
So far, what I would say my favorite has been X-Men Days of Future Past. Now, while that storyline was not Days of Future Past, like, you know, if, you know, they like to title things so that people who know the comics connect it to the comics and get excited about it. So it definitely was not, you know, the Days of Future Past storyline that, you know, is iconic. Because I actually have that 2-issue run, and that is the first comic book that made me cry. I read it back in college, and I actually read a friend's before I purchased it. And I just remember reading it, like, holding it away from my face because I was, like, crying. And I was like, I cannot get my friend's book wet. But once you kind of strip, like, you go into it knowing, like, it's not going to be the thing that I think, but it, you know, but I need to be open to what it is. You know, you just really enjoy it. And I got to tell you, when I saw the trailer, like I don't know if it was the first trailer, the second trailer or whatever, but when you saw everybody who was going to be in it, especially like that opening scene. So, you know, you see Blink and you see mm-hmm. Sunspot and you see Colossus and you see Bishop, and I thought Bishop looked fantastic.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, you know, Bishop, they could have gone with, you know, Jerry Carroll Bishop. They could have went with Van Bishop. But I'm so happy they went with, like, Locke Bishop. And I think that actor did a great job. I mean, for, you know, the little bit of time he was in the movie, I love the effect of, like, what his power looked like. I was so excited. But then the point where I had to pause the trailer and just get up from my desk was when I saw like the twin silver blades go up in the air. And I was like, is Warpath in this movie? Is Warpath in this movie? Because Warpath is like my comic book crush. So I was like, really? Oh my gosh. So it was just epic. And then, you know, just seeing the movie, I just thought it was, like, well done. So, like, by far, I think, the best X movie so far, and for me, the best comic book movie. And as far as, like, what I'm looking forward to, I'm really looking forward to seeing Deadpool. I've heard, you know.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
Not yet. Because
oh, bless your soul, you're going to, oh, my God.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, I would have tried to seen it on Sunday, but we were having our event, so, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm doing.
You sacrifice for the love.
For the love. But I'm hoping, the hope is to be able to see it on Tuesday with a couple of friends. I won't say I'm excited for the Superman Batman movie, but I want to see it because this is the first time we'll see Diana, and it's like how we've been doing what superhero movies for 20 years, and Wonder Woman hasn't gotten a movie, which is crazy.
Right.
You know, so I'm excited, looking forward to when they finally
or a TV show.
Or a TV show. Yeah, I'm looking forward to when they finally make that plunge. I'm looking forward to Black Panther, that movie that I think is slated to come out in 2017. They keep changing the date because I thought it was 2016 and then they changed it. But yeah, I'm excited for, you know, what's to come. I'm excited that Hollywood is like taking the comic book movie seriously because, you know, the fans are out there.
Yep, that is true. So, side note, have you watched the extended version of Days of Future Past?
You mean the deleted scenes?
No, I'm talking about the director's cut version.
No.
I'm going to tell you now, and Megan will definitely second this, and we just told our people that they need to watch this, but it's going to be like watching it for the first time all over again, and it's even better than the cut that they showed on the movies.
Well, really?
Bishop.
Okay.
Bishop has more lines. Everybody, Meg, yeah. Everybody has more lines,
Blink's
right?
Blink's in there more, Sunspot's in there more, Rogue's in the movie itself, and it adds more depth to the background.
It makes so much sense even more when you watch. We highly recommend that you watch the director's cut version. It's so much better.
Well, let me ask, how did you go about watching that?
What, the second one?
Just the director's cut. Was it like
I should have? No disrespect to what we saw, because what we saw in the theaters was great, but it was like, why didn't they add this on? Are they insane? It just answers all the questions. It kind of like answers all the behind the scenes stuff of certain things that happened in the original cut.
Right.
And it just like, oh, this makes sense now, what they did this and what Magneto did or something like that, or, you know, adding Bishop and then Rogue and what Rogue's purpose is. It was called the Rogue Cut, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a reason why they call it the Rogue Cut. I'm just putting it like that, but it's so much better.
Is it like on the Blu-ray or like, how do you
see it? It's a separate.
You can buy it separately. It's out now. You can like Amazon it or whatever like that. And, the Rogue Cut is out and it's, oh my goodness! It's so much depth into that movie, even more. It was like, are you guys insane?
Okay, so now I'm like, all right, we'll try. I'll probably
you think
to that tonight. Now I'm excited in a whole new.
When we come down to see you personally, I'm going to ask you if you've seen that movie, and I'm going to look at your face. You look at your face, just say it all.
All right, I'm excited, you know, because again, like X-Men, you know, that's where I started. So that's, you know, even though I read more than X books, that is always home.
Yes.
You know, so that is the thing that, you know, if you want to talk X-Men, I'll go in. Like, are we talking about it? Then let's talk about it. So, yeah, I'm excited.
I hear you. So my last final question is, when do you rest?
I don't know. You know what?
I totally empathize with you on this.
I don't know. So we actually recently did an hour change because I was originally closed on Sunday and open the rest of the week. But just, you know, from the feedback that we got, you know, comments on our Facebook page, people really wanted us to be open on Sunday. That being the day that it's like, you know, I'm free. I have time. I just want to like chill out. So we
absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it was last Sunday. The first Sunday in February was our first Sunday open, and so now we're open we're open Tuesday through Sunday, and then we're closed on Monday. So Monday is now officially my day off, and I will say having Monday off has been a little more like relaxing than having Sunday off. For some reason, even on Sunday, I was like, I felt like I was running around.
Garfield was right.
But now that the day off is Monday, I do feel like I have like a little bit of time to myself. But But even in the time to myself, you know, I'm thinking about the store. So I'm thinking, you mm-hmm. know, even if I'm not necessarily actively working, I'm taking notes. I'm thinking about, okay, well, what do I need to do tomorrow? And, you know I need to be careful so I don't burn myself out. But right now, you know, again, everything's so new. Everything, again, we're growing quickly. And so I just want to stay on top of it as best I can. And, you know, the time for rest will come later, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the first step. This is still the early, you know, process of your shop. So it's very understanding. But God bless you. Definitely get some damn rest as much as possible. And I'm the one that need to talk to, because everybody presses on me about all the stuff that I'm doing too.
He never sleeps. And then all he does is get playing video games. He works
twice. Like,
he must have a coffee set into his IV or something.
Get that chai tea going.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, I'm about chai. To fix. Ariel, right now I want to give you the opportunity to plug Amalgam and anything else that you have going on right now. So by all means, go for it.
Okay, so you know, Amalgam Comics and Coffee House, it is located in the Kensington section of North Philadelphia. We are on Frankfort Avenue at the intersection of Frankfort and Huntington. The address is 2578 Frankfort Avenue, Philadelphia, PA 19125. We have a lot of fun stuff we are planning. So what I'll say is, like, check our Facebook, check our Twitter, check our Instagram. You know, look for us at Amalgam Philly is where you can find us on all of those platforms. And we will update and let you know, what's going on, you know, as we nail it down and confirm it.
Absolutely. Thank you so, so much, Lady Johnson. It has been an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I might actually require people call me that from now on. I like that.
Look at you.
Yes.
Look at you.
Yes, Your Grace. No, absolutely. It's been fun. We had a great time talking with you. And we will, the Philly crew especially, will be down at your shop. You have a event coming up pretty soon in the coming months involving Black podcasters. So
yes, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we are definitely going to come down for that. Actually, we're going to plan to come down before that as well to meet you and you know, check out everything and get that chai. So
yay!
It's all good. So again, thank you so much. It's definitely an honor, and congratulations on everything that you're doing, and please keep up the good work. I got a feeling, like Andre said, it's going to be the milestone groundwork for years to come.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you taking time out to speak with me. This has been really fun. And I'm thank you for that road cup, because that is now the next order of business.
I want you to get back to me on that too. Definitely.
Okay, I definitely will.
All right. On behalf of myself, Andre Stokes, Megan Walsh, Lou Johnson, Terrence Simon, and the lovely Ariel Johnson, this is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, and we are out of here. Oh. Happy Black History Month, people.
Soy sauce.
Mahalo.
Yup.
This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.